Olivia Wang's new book, Everybody, A Book About Freedom, is a roving exploration of what it means to inhabit the vulnerable vessel of the human body. It is a meditation on bodies and freedom, examined through the lens of politics, history, sexuality, philosophy, medicine, and art. Olivia is the author of three acclaimed works of nonfiction, To the River, The Trip to Echo Springs, and The Lonely City. She's also the author of the novel Crudo, which was a New York Times notable book, and I believe the last time she was on this program to talk about it. It is a great pleasure to welcome Olivia Wang back to the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Hey, very nice to be here again.
Well, I will tell you, there is a lot in this book, and there are many bodies in this book. So describe how you were able and wanted to harness all of this together to talk ultimately about freedom.
What I wanted to do was really take a tour through our bodily lives at a time of intense bodily peril. I began writing it in 2015 during the rise of Trump and the far right and the refugee crisis in Europe and the UK. And I wanted to make sense of why bodily freedom is so difficult, why certain bodies are treated so abysmally, and why it's so hard to inhabit our human form. So I wanted to look at it in terms of things like illness, sexual violence, racism. But I also wanted to interrogate the ways in which our bodies are a source of power. And so look at the liberation struggles of the 20th century, like feminism, like the civil rights movement, like sexual liberation and gay liberation, to see the ways in which our bodies have historically been a source of astonishing power that have changed our bodily lives communally.
So do we start unwell and get well, or are we well and then make ourselves unwell and then get better?
A question that has troubled the philosophers since time began. I don't think we need to worry about that. I don't think we need to think about it. I think all we need to think about is the work of improving the conditions that we find ourselves in.
So in the book, you look at all of this and through a lens and really to look at the work of the psychoanalyst Wilhelm Reich. What was it about Reich's work that fascinated you to the point of wanting to use that as a lens to go through the subject with many different people in many different bodies?
I didn't intend Reich to take up such an enormous role. So he was a renegade psychoanalyst, really, I think. He began as Freud's most brilliant protege in Austria in the 1920s, and his work took many turns. He was a sexual liberationist. He was an anti-fascist activist in Hitler's Berlin. He came to America and became a kind of pseudoscientist, and he ended up dying in prison. And I was very excited by some of the ideas that he'd had in the 1920s to do with bodies and power, really. He tried to bring together the work of Freud and Marx in very radical and exciting ways. And he was very interested in the sort of traumas that our bodies hold, and also in the ways that bodily coercion can lead to a dangerous rise in fascism, which is something that he saw with his own eyes and that I think we're facing now. So Reich was sort of this very interesting figure in his own right. But the other thing that was interesting to me as a writer trying to formulate quite a complicated story about the body is that he was everywhere I wanted to go. So he had a life that involved writing about and thinking about illness. He was very involved in sexual liberation struggles. He was incarcerated himself. He died in a prison cell. So all of these different kinds of narratives and stories that seemed vital to understanding the body, Reich had a part to play in them. And that allowed me to follow him along and then at intervals to turn away and look at the many other people who've been involved in those struggles too.
So much of what you're doing here is trying to figure out that relationship between bodies and freedom. You look at many of the great artists and writers of modern history and look and try to understand how they expanded the power of the body. That relationship between the body and freedom, where can we sort of a good starting place for us to begin to even figure that out for ourselves?
I think it really depends on what your own interest is and what your own sort of experience of your bodily life is. So, you know, I set up lots of different ways in, and I think, you know, for many people right now, illness is something that is a huge concern because of the COVID crisis. And for other people, for many different reasons, cancer, all of these different sort of experiences that we have with our physical vulnerability and mortality. So if you're going in from that direction, then maybe Susan Sontag is a very interesting person to look at. She wrote Illness as Metaphor. She wrote very widely about what illness means in our life. Is illness meaningful? Is illness not meaningful? Is it just something random? So, you know, that's one angle that you can go in on the body. If you're interested, as many people are at the moment, in sexual violence and what our sexual lives look like and why violence takes such an outsized role in them, then I think the artist Anna Mendieta is incredibly interesting. That's something that she really grappled with. And again, Andrea Dworkin, the feminist philosopher, is an extremely important figure in understanding these things that were a crucial part of second wave feminism in the 1970s and yet have not by any means gone away. So I think we have an abundance of artists, activists, thinkers who have addressed many different aspects of bodily experience. And what I wanted to do was really gather them into a room together and then allow the reader to, you know, move from person to person and see who appeals to them or who seems to speak to them in a way that is potentially liberating.
When it comes to that liberation of, do we know necessarily when that has happened, in the sense of that we have full control over the body and the freedom?
I think the thing with bodily freedom is that we know when we don't have it. We know when it's absent. And I think that what liberation struggles are always engaged in is trying to enlarge those freedoms. And what I'd initially understood is that they enlarge those freedoms, they secure those freedoms, and then that work is done. It's finished with. And what I began to realize, and what this book is really trying to address, I think, in one way, is what we do when we realize that those freedom struggles are being undermined, that they're being rolled back. And I think that sense of freedom not being a one-way story, but the struggle for freedom being something that we all participate in, it extends beyond our lifespans in both directions, but we play a part in it. I think that feels like one of the most essential messages of the book.
How much did you internalize what you were researching and finding out?
That's a very good question. I mean, I spent 5 years reading about really some of the worst things that humans have done to each other. There was a huge amount of research on genocide and torture, which is sort of the ground zero of the worst aspects of our bodily lives. And that was very distressing work to do. So it was a very hard book to write in a lot of ways. At the same time, I think the act of trying to make sense, the act of trying to make a narrative out of those experiences that are far beyond language, it is in its own way stabilizing. So making the book was a way of handling the almost radioactive material. And I think, like all my books, it's rooted in a personal experience as well. It includes lots of autobiographical elements about my own bodily existence, my own experiences with illness, my own experiences with sex. And it feels like it was addressing things that have felt very urgent to me in my own life, but that I know are felt urgently by everyone in the world. We can't exist without thinking about our bodily lives. It's not possible. This is something that really is shared by everyone on the planet.
And the idea of the human body resisting oppression and ultimately reshaping the world is something that is, as I was reading the book, I thought, well, you know, we're sort of built for this, and yet it's so hard often to get out of our own way to do it, right?
I think so. I think we all have a sense of inertia. I mean, Freud talks about this, that we all have a sense of life energy and being urgently engaged, and another sense of just inertia and staying with the status quo. But the problem with the status quo, certainly at present, is that it is not serving everybody's bodies equally. It is serving some people intolerable levels of violence and suffering, while other people live lives of great peacefulness. And I think at some point we have to move from an individual viewpoint to thinking, this doesn't work, this isn't just, this isn't equitable, and there is a possibility of making things fairer than that. I genuinely believe that old-fashioned 20th century liberation point of view.
Such a fascinating and amazing book. I thank you very much for being with us and for sharing with us this morning. Olivia Lang is the author of Everybody, a book about freedom. It is published by W.W. Norton. Olivia, thank you so much for being here and for sharing. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the new book is Everybody, a book about freedom. It is by Olivia Lang and published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.